Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com.
And welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian.
And this is episode 107, 107 times we've done this, and 107 times you've experienced us doing it to you, which is interesting. We are, by the way, I want to say hello to all of the new audience that we have. Somehow, some way, we've acquired a bunch of new listeners, and we are thankful that you're tuning in. It's going to help us tremendously if you go right now and do two things. One, subscribe anywhere where podcasts are found. You're probably already doing that. But when you do, make sure to leave a review because that's the best way for us to get into the top rankings and to be seen by more people. And we have a message for the future of retailers everywhere. We want to help get that out, and you can help us do it. Brian, today's a little, would you call it a mini-sode? Is today a mini-sode?
Are any of our episodes mini-sodes?
No. It's an action-packed, bite-sized episode, talking about some absolutely ginormous things. And so we're going to talk about some ginormous businesses like Walmart. Yeah. Little retailer you might've heard of.
Yeah. Walmart doing some crazy stuff right now, using technology to do it. And one of those things is they're now doing some interesting AI-based monitoring of stores. This is it's not terribly new breaking news, but it is very interesting to me. They're saying that they're anonymizing the data.
that's what everybody says, right?
They're using it for data about how to properly stock their stores and properly build their stores and merchandise their stores. It's all about the store.
Yeah. And if you look at the pictures so this was a store, I think we might've mentioned this a couple episodes ago, just briefly. And this is a store that's a concept store that has cameras literally freaking everywhere.
Everywhere.
And that's like, it's not even a joke. If you look at the picture, it verges on the joke store that I would have made. Like, this is, let's design a store of the future and let's put as many cameras as you can fit per square inch.
I actually think that's a pretty good look at the future. Cameras everywhere. Yeah. Honestly, if China's any indication.
I mean, we're already seeing it elsewhere. I mean, forget retail. There was a whole Twitter thread that blew up at JetBlue recently for using facial recognition for passenger boarding, which we had talked about almost a year ago, by the way. But for international flight boarding, JetBlue is capitalizing on using facial data for boarding procedures. This is not, like, this is where we're heading. And I think that customers will be freaked out by it, or your consumers are going to be freaked out by it, as so long as it doesn't provide a real benefit to your life. For instance, I'm all too happy for facial recognition and biometric data when I use Clear, because it pops me to the very front of the TSA pre-check. Like, that is a market improvement in my life. When you're stocking,
It's clearly something you've opted into. That's the other
clearly
thing.
Clearly something you've opted into. But, I mean, you use Clear, right?
I used to.
You don't see the benefit of it? Is it not pervasive enough
actually,
for you?
That's a really, really good point. No, it's that with Clear, if you want to have the pre-check experience, you still have to get pre-check. If you use Clear without pre-check, you still have to go through normal security processes.
Right.
And like once you get to the end of the line. Well, I get priority boarding all the time. I can't see why you
of all people who are on the road like 50 weeks a year that you do not have pre-check. That blows my mind.
No. I have priority boarding, so I can take the priority boarding line. I don't know
what that means, but it sounds like a cop out. What's the deal? Like, hold on. This it's so funny because this all ties into a bunch of stuff that's sort of interrelated. You didn't renew Clear. That sounds like this new push for people to not renew Amazon Prime. And
it's very similar to that. It's a really good comparison. I love that.
It's not enough convenience in your life. You've realized that a few extra minutes isn't going to kill you and you don't need to spend the money, is what I'm hearing you say. And that's kind of what people are saying about Amazon Prime right now, right?
Yeah, totally. I think you're onto something 100%. Like, I can get the same experience by using the Sky Priority line with PreCheck. And in fact, it's a better experience.
It's close enough.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And anyone that's flying as frequently as I am, they're going to be able to get a similar experience. And those are the people that are going to buy Clear anyway. And so I don't know. It's also interesting because pre-check lines are so long right now as well.
that's getting worse and worse. But I think I think the correlation that I'm trying to suss out here is that when you have cameras, literally freaking everywhere, show title, by the way, when you have cameras literally freaking everywhere, it has to provide a real benefit to you in your life. And you have to see the tangible benefit. It's not just about stores being able to restock shelves efficiently, and anonymized data or not, our behaviors, our attention, where our gaze is fixed, and our face are all fundamental rights to private, like they're all fundamental parts of us, and we should be able to control, who gets that data, and or we should give it up willingly in exchange for something else. I know we just talked about the Privacy Project with Danny Sepulveda, and that episode might go down as one of the best episodes we've ever done. you conducted a fantastic interview, although he doesn't need a lot of help.
Danny does not need a lot of help. He's got a lot of good stuff to say.
What's really interesting is that in an era where the Privacy Project, probably one of the more chilling things that the New York Times uncovered, was the amount of public data that's available and public APIs like Amazon's recognition service and some others that make it super easy and very trivial to harvest actual data for you to train against. When you're looking at that world, right? You look at the world that we live in. Cameras that are available, like in this particular case, it was public cameras at Bryant Park that were installed, to see if the lawn is open for yoga.
That is a crazy article. We need to link that in our show notes.
Insane use case, because it cost them something like $35 of Amazon services to find who people are in by nearby businesses that have employee alumni or what, like employee, career boards that link to their LinkedIn. And it's insane what you can do these days. But all that aside, we live in an era where we're hearing stories about governments that are infiltrating elections, that are using disinformation campaigns to affect the outcome of elections, or not. I mean, depending on which side of the aisle you might sit on. We're living in an era where there's coercion on social media. We live in an era where our electrical grid is potentially under attack. This is the world we live in, and it's not trivial to think that you know, even a retailer like Walmart, as sophisticated as they may be, as great at security as they may be, when they have this kind of data, they become targets that are worth trying to infiltrate. And when you have cameras everywhere, that might be a goldmine of the kind of data. The data is the new oil. Facial recognition, you know, is
the ultimate data.
Right. It is unobtainium. That is I mean, Enemy of the State. You remember that movie with Will Smith?
Oh, yeah, no. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed absolutely far-fetched and ridiculous. By the way, Jack Black as like, you know, as the like master computer hacker. Best movie ever. So realistic. I mean, that might be the world that exists.
This is the part that I think that is interesting. It doesn't, like, that world is not driven by necessarily government's monitoring.
Government.
Yeah, it's right, driven by private and by opt-in, actually. This is the part that I think is amazing. Think about how we accept cookies on sites right now because of GDPR.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
We just hit accept. It's like,
we don't think about it anymore.
I can't use this site unless I click accept.
Yeah.
We don't even think about it.
Right.
This is going to be the same thing for stores. Like, there's going to be, everyone's got their little, their club memberships. We all opt into them.
By the way, we all have this experience. I have a personal experience that I don't know that I've shared on the show. We're super deep into this one topic, and I know that we've got 30 others to talk about in 20 minutes. I know. This is what I knew we were going to start out like wanting to make a short show. Okay. So I took my kids to the grand opening of this like bounce, trampoline park here. In South Florida. And did I tell the story already? I don't know if I did. And there was someone walking around in like a team member jersey, like they look like referees, they were walking around and they were very obviously filming. And so I peek over their shoulder and she's, using Instagram stories and I'm like, I'm not that guy. I'm not that sketchy about my kids on social media, but she was like all up in my kid's face taking pictures, and it just weirded me out. And I just, at that moment, I felt like, okay, this is a hill I'll die on. I'm fine with this. And I confronted her and I'm like, why are you taking pictures of my kids? And her response was, did you read the waiver when you signed it? And I'm like, no, you know what? Screw me, right? Shame on me. I guess I should have read the damage and liability waiver for a camera release. And so come to find out, which by the way, if you're trying to win like repeat business, probably not the best response. Come to find out in the liability waiver, wherein I think I'm signing away, the fact that I'll sue you if my kid breaks their leg on your trampoline, there is a social media release hidden or buried in the middle of it, which I think is totally unreasonable. But that's the world we live in now, is that to use this place, I have to sign away my right for my kids to be on social media. And that is the new normal. And I'm conditioned. I think I'm more aware than most, but I'm conditioned now that that's the new normal. And if I want to go to this place, that's what I have to accept. That shouldn't be acceptable.
Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries for every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. from recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
This is the thing, and Danny called this out in the episode, last week's episode. The genie is out of the bottle.
It is.
There's no going back.
You can't put it back.
You cannot put it back. Once your face has been tagged once on the internet in a public way,
right,
you're out there and it's over. Like, unless you decide you want to not have your photos taken, like, it's all about trying to manage and control that. And I think that's why we nailed it when we said that, you know, managing your data,
yeah,
is a life skill,
yep,
that everyone needs to learn,
yep,
in this new world. Yep. This is not a small thing. this is an everyone problem, and everyone needs to learn how to,
yeah,
manage that data and know where their data is at and where it's going. And yeah,
well, even then, crazy. Let's say that it's not your data. Let's say that it is actual. So moving on to another story on futurism, on the futurism blog, which, by the way, one of my favorites. Amazon is testing an AI to automatically fire low productivity workers, which is the kind of thing that you might have assumed that they were already doing. But they kind of already are.
This is why there's all those stories about the people skipping bathroom breaks. Like, they don't want to have their metrics get, you know, take a dip.
Right. There's actual documentation now, and this is citing an article from The Verge about how fulfillment center employees are failing to meet productivity quotas, and effectively they can forecast if you'll become, like, if you are on your way to being unproductive. They sort of profile you, and basically, you know, you can receive a termination letter that's signed by an Amazon attorney, that basically talks about how, like, the entire process is fully automated.
Trends.
Right, exactly. They can forecast trends, and basically, you know, some of this may not even apply to Amazon directly. Like, they might even, they seem to have some data to third party as well, third party fulfillment, and using that sort of, you know, they call it a coaching system. that sounds like a Black Mirror phrase, like, you know, you have now been coached. But productivity data of an employee is still personal data. Like, people, you know,
maybe this is actually what we're going to be remembered for, you know, in future generations. We talk about the Industrial Revolution, and, you know, when we think about it, when you say Industrial Revolution, what do you think? You think two things, right? You think a huge explosive, like, new ways of doing things, right? And manufacturing and so on. And then you think of worker conditions.
Oh, for sure. Right. Yeah. Like,
maybe the digital revolution is ushering in a new age of like worker conditions. But in this particular case, maybe there's an opportunity to use this data to actually improve lives, as opposed to run people into the ground.
Like, let me take a different angle of attack, because I have to wonder if these, you know, you look at these historical retrospectives of, like, how the New York City skyline was built, and, you know, how many workers died to build the Empire State Building, and, you know, how dangerous working conditions are in mines, and, you know, what, you know, to build to, you know, to, and how people died building the railroad, and these, you know, you have to wonder, you know, one of those things don't necessarily bring prosperity to, you know, society. You know, the Empire State Building is, you know, it's a monument. It's an obelisk. It's like this edifice that we worship as, you know, an idol in our society of, you know, our greatness. No, I'm serious. Like, it's an idol of our greatness, and people sacrifice their lives to it. I mean, that's effectively what where we're heading with, you know, building the new empire, which is AI and data, there will be people that have to sacrifice their lives for it. And it's, and at the end of the day, is it meaningful? Does it actually lead to a better life for people? Like, does the empire state building actually contribute positively to people's lives and livelihood? Or is it a symbol of something that stands for something greater? Like, is that worth giving your life for? And I have to ask myself, is this worth giving up my freedom and privacy for a future generation to have, you know, a quote unquote better life? I don't know. Like, I feel like we have it pretty good. Like, working conditions are pretty good, you know, as a whole, as a human society, at least in the West, things are pretty okay now. They've been worse in the past. But I think they could probably be better.
And You said West, right, that's the key word there. What about 996?
Right. Man? I understand that. And that's, you know, the rest of the world has to suffer, you know, on mass. They suffer so that we can have the modern conveniences, and that's, you know, that's in and of itself probably another episode, but that's, but we, you know, we're also being, you know, we're being productized in the same way that factory farming, you know, moves chickens through, you know, inhumanely through the slaughter mill. Like we're moving society inhumanely through, you know, cameras and movements and tracking and forecasting and, you know, that is it. Like, this is it. It's 1984. Here we are.
This is the crazy thing. As Danny put it, are we being fairly compensated for our data?
That's the question.
That is the question. And this is the part that, like, who's determining that? Like, are the users, are people determining that, or are governments determining that, or is the internet determining that, or is that fair, is it free market that's determining that? And I mean, I think that, and what kind of data and what type of data is more valuable? Is your body data more valuable than, you know, than your financial data?
Right.
There's so many different pieces of data that we haven't even touched yet as well. As the Internet of Things continues to grow, like, I was just talking with a good friend of mine, actually my brother-in-law, and you can, he's in the fisheries management mm-hmm. world. The stuff that he is able to do with very limited budget in terms of collecting like data on the environment and on water, and it's actually mind blowing. And no one's doing it yet. That's the part that's kind of crazy. It's like, he's doing stuff that people are hardly doing right now. And so I guess cameras and sensors and everything that, you know, everything we're talking about, this is just getting started. This is just getting started. We didn't talk about Walgreens and their, you know, facial monitoring as well. We talked about that on a previous episode, but like Walmart and Walgreens and Amazon and, you know, everyone is just starting to bring these things in. I think I also wanted to comment on something you said earlier, which is that people are only going to do it to opt in if they find a value add, right? The value add is actually being able to use or be used the brand. It's the brand altogether. It's all in or all out. This is the part that I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make about websites. You just click accept because there's no other way to use the website unless you just click accept.
Right.
And so you don't have any other options. I think the same thing's going to happen with physical stores. Either you agree to their terms of coming into the store or you don't use that store.
Exactly. 100%. Well, okay. Let me jump ahead to maybe thinking that maybe it's all overblown. Do you mind if I shift gears just a hair?
Yeah, in the next 5 minutes. Okay. Here we go. Let's do it.
so maybe we're wrong. Maybe we'll look back and we say this is a transition period. Because, you know, it could be that this is an era where we're training AI to learn things, about us to be able to mimic the human, you know, the human behavior, like for it to replace you know, fundamental parts that require human beings. I'll give you a good example. There was a press release from a Japanese company called DataGrid, which has developed a deep fakes for whole body model generation. So, you know, we had Super Personal on the show, and they can superimpose faces with deep learning, and they can superimpose faces onto existing models' bodies. This can actually generate whole models, which look fundamentally like indistinguishable from real people. It's shocking. We'll link it up in the show notes. So this is, you know, deep fakes for whole bodies. And I think that the pace of, you know, it's using body data and AI to train what's called a GAN, which is a generative adversarial network. It's a certain type of deep learning to learn how to generate whole body images, including clothing. And it's the pace of innovation here is in less than a year, we went from faces to bodies. And it could be that we make the leap from, you know, do we need Instagram influencers? Do we need models? Do we need, like, this might just be the next phase of evolution that we may not even need facial recognition as we know it. Like the understanding of who a person is and their presence may no longer require cameras in the future. It might be something else. So it could be that this we're in this intense period of scrutiny of transition and personal data for us to make the leap into a future that we can't even fathom right now. And that might be case. That might be the case.
You said you just took the opposite angle. I feel like you took the next step.
Well, I'm saying like there's a lot of scrutiny right now, and we might actually, if you were to extend it out logically, maybe we're all paying that price so that we don't need this in the future. Maybe we'll get smart enough, and maybe machines get smart enough, and AI gets smart enough that we no longer need to train the networks anymore. Right? We no longer need to surveil the populace. Right? That might be where we're heading.
Well, I doubt it. Here's why. Because people change.
Right.
People change. People change. And so we're going to want to understand how we're being affected by AI. And we're going to want to understand how we're changing.
Right. Right.
Right. And so the surveillance has to continue because we have to update our models or they'll go out of date.
Mm.
Right. We're always going to want to know what humanity is doing.
I spent some time with Jason Calacanis, like, you know, famous angel investor. And I spent some time with him last week. He gave like a symposium on you know, angel investing down here in Miami. And he opens up with, which is, by the way, he doesn't say hi. He doesn't say, hi, I'm Jason. He just opens up. He's like, the world is under threat. Which is, he's like, capitalism is under threat, and the despots of the world, you know, the dictators of the world are trying to co-opt capitalism to pick the winners and losers. He's in the society and the capitalism that we've known for, you know, over 100 years, you know, you can go in one generation, you know, from being destitute and having nothing to the next generation having incredible wealth. And that's the world that we actually live in. And the greatest fight of our generation will be to preserve that institution and not let, you know, maniacal dictators of the world co-opt that for their own gain so that they can pick winners and losers. In China, they pick winners and losers. In the United States, and, you know, he lists, you know, 60 of the Fortune 100, which are all, you know, American companies, you know, the Ubers and Airbnbs of the world, those are American institutions that are founded by people who, you know, had the upward mobility in their society, who weren't picked by the government, who weren't handpicked. And, you know, if we give AI over to adversaries, if we allow them to outpace us in innovation, we'll never get that back. And that is the fundamental existential crisis. It's not all these things that we're railing against. It's not, you know, Russian spies and hacking and beluga whales who might be Russian spies and, you know, everything else that we're distracted with. That it's the threat to capitalism. That's the greatest threat, because capitalism is what drives innovation, and capitalism is what drives retail, and capitalism is what, like, you know, these, and
interesting.
I tend to agree with him. Maybe. I don't know. I think maybe I agree. Makes me want to read his book again.
Man, I've agreed with that my entire life. It's interesting in that maybe innovation right now actually is being, how is innovation being driven right now? I'm not 100% sure. And actually, I know capitalism plays a huge part in it, but there's just, I think, you know, fear is also playing a part in it. For sure.
It's fear of being outpaced and losing market share and, you know, having to answer to shareholders. And that does drive innovation, sure. Right? It's fear of missing an opportunity in a marketplace. It's fear of, you know, I don't know. There's an entire segment. I'm sure we could get some really smart people on to talk about, you know, VC and angel investing and how, you know, how fear of missing out, FOMO FOMO drives those funds because they're, you know, it's not altruism. It's, you know, it's not because people like think to themselves, you know, let's put our money together in a syndicate because we're, you know, because we want to help the next generation of entrepreneurs. It's like, no, there's a lot of money to be made and I want to be the person to make that money. And if someone else is going to make that money, they better be me. I'm going to make that money. And, you know, somebody's going to win in this, I don't know. Okay. Last story.
I think we got to wrap. That was the time. Oh. That was our allotted time.
Holy cow. I don't even know what happened to that time. how do we close out from here? Oh, thanks for listening. We have no idea what this had to do with retail, probably everything. And we want to hear your your take on this. What do you think? Head on over to futurecommerce.fm and lend your voice to the conversation. You could do that on the episode title link. And also follow us on Instagram. We're having some really interesting content over there. We'll be doing some Instagram live for the next few weeks. Brian, you're going to be playing a big role in NRF Tech, right?
I am. Yeah, I'll be the MC on Tuesday. Yeah. So really looking forward to that. And so if you're going to be in San Francisco for NRF Tech, I would love to connect with you in person there. I'm really looking forward to that.
Hit us up. And I think we'll also be, we'll play some role at, Future Stores Seattle. I think we're going to be participating in Etail East pretty soon. A lot of things coming up in and around the retail trade events. So I'd love to see you. We're also working on our way. If someone out there has a hookup to get us into sustainable brands, we're trying. It's hard. but there's so many awesome things that are happening in our industry as we head into, you know, a busy conference season. We want to meet with you. Hit us up and you can do that at info@futurecommerce.fm. Send us an email. All right. Thanks for listening. And as we always say, retail tech moves fast,
but future commerce has moved faster.
Bye.